So I'm going to assume that regardless of what biomass you're using, once you get to ethanol, the process becomes the same for everybody to go from ethanol to the hydrocarbons.
No, that's a very, very, very interesting point. That's a very key point, is the fact that we do not use ethanol as a feedstock for our hydrocarbons.
We
use an ethanol plant.
Okay.
And we use oxygenates coming out of an ethanol plant. Without going into any further detail, you can look
right.
it up on the web. But the point is that we once you have the oxygenates, whatever those are, we can form hydrocarbons out of it and then form our fuels. But not ethanol. We're not dependent on ethanol.
Okay. Well, it sounds like you've got a wide range of oxygenates you can use. Depending upon what your source is, you just pick the most efficient one to work with.
The important part here is that all the fuel and data that we've tested to this point in time and that we will continue to use in the future, and John Russick touched on this earlier, is all based on ASTM D910, which is the current specification for 100 low-lead fuels, which to this point, every other fuel that has tried to enter the aviation market has either tried to make their own specification or a derated octane of that same specification. We're talking about a fuel here that's nominally 104.9 motor octane number.
So right now you have, like you said, direct drop-in, and even the FAA acknowledges that this could be it. This could be the ready replacement for 100 low lead. They're just gathering data and making sure.
Yeah, we have to, because remember, we're talking about a new fuel here. In principle, we're talking about not 100 low lead. We're talking about a 100 UL, a different color, a different
right.
whatever, because this is not an STC for an aircraft. This is a new fuel. When I learned to fly in 1978, we had two options of fuels, green and blue. Some brand new fuel came in. It was called 100 low lead. We're trying to see 100 low lead phase out and come up with yet the next generation. It makes sense.
Something no lead.
Right. And I guess I want to absolutely make sure to let the audience know what this is not. And because your comment about
right.
ethanol really made sense. This is not ethanol. This is not ethanol based. This does not contain any oxygenates whatsoever, because oxygenates do not make a good motor fuel in any way, shape, or form for a heat engine.
Okay.
And lastly, I want to say this is also not a Fischer-Tropsch or a coal-to-gas or a coal-to-liquid type thing. I want to make that very clear, because that's a very, very expensive process. And, of course, if we can't make this for less price than what's out there, stability is fine, but if it costs $10 a gallon to make, stability be darned.
Right,
I mean, that's it. They're still
100
exactly.
Low.
So the point is, it's got to make sense.
Now, let me quote you on that, because I believe on the website you were saying you could make it for about $1.30 a gallon, or was I crazy when I?
No, it says the manufacturing cost is going to be roughly about $1.80 a gallon, which
okay.
is what we estimate. And more important than that, because of the number of process steps in scale, if we do it relative to petroleum, we figure it's approximately half the manufacturing cost of petroleum.
So right off the bat, if the distribution costs are the same,
right.
you've got a tremendous savings.
Right.
Yeah, providing the same tax structure applies.
Right.
We've been informed that when the business model was built, we've been informed that this is classed or will be classed as a second generation biofuel, which will receive a dollar tax credit. So,
well, I think you're going to have a lot of pilots rebate. Knocking on your door.
Or a dollar rebate, excuse me. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the whole genesis is we're not a big conglomerate. We're not after the next market. We're not after pilots' money. What we're after is to keep pilots and their planes still flying. This project came to light in a Cessna 182 flying back. We decided that we would like to continue flying beyond 2010, beyond 2020, whenever that date is, when there is no more petroleum. We want to continue flying, and we don't want to derate our aircraft, lose power, lose range, lose performance in the engine.
Lose safety.
That's right. There's a point I wanted to make. The response thus far, we've essentially initially released this in some sense. We're not selling it. We're just released it pretty much after our April 28th meeting that we had with the CRC, or the CRC, the Coordinating Research Council of the ASTM, when we basically said, okay, we're letting the world know that we're in this business, and here's the data. The response since then has been absolutely remarkable. We've had heartfelt letters from most of them, I'd say, in our country that I've been getting was from EAA. I could show you emails which stated, I've got this RV4 kit in the basement. Now I'm actually thinking of building it. I'm actually thinking of taking my plane out of mothballs. I'm actually thinking of flying again. What a crying shame if we have no options.
I agree 100%. And as a student pilot, I've seen 100 low lead foul engines and just jam up valves and coat the bottom of the airplane with sludge. And I never liked it anyway. I used to race as a, many years ago, and they, I believe, I'm not sure if I'm correct, that 100 low lead actually has three times the amount of lead of unleaded, or excuse me, of leaded automotive fuel.
Actually, it's about the same as what the old leaded was.
Okay.
The 100 that they had when I learned to fly had about 6 milliliters per gallon, and the 100 low lead had about 3 milliliters per gallon. And the fuel I used to put in my 71 Toyota high compression engine was 3 milliliters per gallon. And I'm going, okay, that's great.
Yeah, that's a lot.
Yeah, it really is. And there's going to be things. It's just not a right. It's not a good thing to do. We can't continue to do that.
Well, it was a good idea at the time.
Right.
But not anymore.
One thing, and I would want to put a small advertising blurb here, if you will. If anybody needs any more information on this, the simplest thing to do is just take a look at www.swiftenterprises.com. And basically, it just gives you an update on where we're at, what we're trying to do. It's not a, we're very apolitical, we're very somewhat philosophical, but the important thing is, at the end of the day, we're all engineers and aviators, and what we want to do is get something out there.
Now, you stated you're going to start up a pilot plant in Delphi that's going to generate 2,000 gallons a day. Is that strictly to support testing programs at this point? Or, I mean, I'm assuming that will not be available to the public.
No, that particular fuel will be for testing purposes. And, of course, then the attraction is then to license the technology to producers that would then produce the fuel for public sale.
That would crank up the scale.
Exactly.
All right. Would you like to add anything else in parting? I can't think of any more questions, except that when can I get some?
Go ahead, Ty. I think the big thing to clarify is, again, for Dr. Russick is he had mentioned it earlier. This is not an ethanol. This is not a Fischer-Tropsch. This is a clean synthetic fuel that was designed for pilots. It was designed to take the position of a 100 low lead. And the other aspect that we probably ought to touch on is the din of noise from biofuels that are coming out that everybody has heard of one or the other. The point of Swift Enterprises Fuels is that this is an evolutionary step forward. This gets 5 to 15% better range on your aircraft. And we've tested this. The FAA has tested this. It'll be public information. And the fact is that information will be coming public here soon. But this is an evolutionary step forward in fuels. Ethanol, butanol, methanol, and the blends such are step backwards. Nobody in the United States, no pilot that we've ever spoken with wants to go back, wants to detune their engines. And this is a bright light at the end of the tunnel for pilots, and 100 low lead replacement is a step forward.
As one final point here, remember, Swift Enterprises is doing this because we want to enable flying. We want to enable racing. We want to enable practical transportation. That's exactly what we're trying to do. We're not the only game in town, but this is a message to the world that there are good ideas out there, good practical ideas. We need to start doing that.
Well, it makes you wonder why nobody thought of this process before.
Ironically, without getting into a huge amount of history, we have. Between 1910 and 1920, there was a huge amount of work on trying to extract energy, practical hydrocarbon energy, out of biomass. Because why? Our fuel comes from the sun. Because the sun makes the plants, all the way down there. Then something happened. We're hearing it outside right there. It's called World War II. We had some real problems there. We needed a cheap, readily available, quick-to-get, instantaneous thing, and that was called crude oil. It's transportable. We can make high-octane thing. We have a whole infrastructure. Over a period of time, you would think that we'd go back to the bio thing. Ironically enough, there were three countries in the world prior to World War II that had the lead in biofuels. It was Germany, Poland, and the United States. And if you look at the old patents and all the old research that was done back there, that's it. Well, guess what? Crude oil is going away. Whether it lasts 5 years, 50 years, or 500 years, it's a finite resource. The sun is not finite. Well, up to a point. At least it's on a longer time scale than what we have really to worry about
right here. Exactly.
That's it. So that's the point. Use something that grows and renews. Algae. Use all these things that you possibly can.
Just in closing, I mean, we've heard a lot of great support from pilots. That's what we're after. That's what keeps us going. We're pilots, and that's all we want to do is see aviation continue on, for another 100 years of powered human flight and beyond. So that's the message. That's the message that we're trying to get across.
All right, gentlemen. Well, thank you for coming in.
Well, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you. This is Digital Dave, and you're listening to EAA Radio.